You're listening to Gameplay with Matthew Cause on TSN 1050. Embrace the odds.
I want winners.
Let me give a lesson to everyone out there that is placing a bet. And whether you're going to FanDuel or wherever you're going on this site, we go over to FanDuel. When you're betting on the NBA, wait till the last minute. Now, I did not, because I wanted to put down a little fun bet just to talk about on air. Now, it's not for a lot of money. It's for $4.47. I did a money line on Boston at Milwaukee, Orlando at Toronto. I bet $4.47. That could win me $55. And then we found out 20 minutes ago that Jason Tatum will now join Jaylen Brown and not play tonight. So now I'm going to lose. My guest from Covers.com, senior betting analyst, Andrew Cayley. Andrew, I imagine you would subscribe to my advice. Hey, kids, wait till the last minute, especially betting on basketball.
It's been a crazy year for betting on the NBA, with loadout management being as abundant as ever and guys being held out sometimes as late as 90 minutes before tip-off of a game. And it can really hurt you in some of these spots. I will say, though, Matt, that the Bucks did open this game as 9.5 or 10-point favorites.
I know.
So there are some hints there that Jason Tatum was not going to play in this game, because even without Brown, there's no way the Celtics are 10-point dogs with Tatum on the court. So there are some hints out there when you see some big-name guys that may be questionable. Sportsbooks seem to have a way of figuring that out a little sooner than the rest of us. But yeah, it's been tough. So I, to avoid that, I've been doing a lot of player props this season, because at least you have the benefit if, say, you had a Tatum bet, and if he doesn't suit up, then you're going to get your bet voided, as opposed to being stuck with your Celtics bet, or if it's the other way around, like maybe you're laying 10 points with the Bucks, and then Giannis just says he's not going to play in the game, and then you're still stuck with Milwaukee minus 10, which would not be a good spot either.
So to work it out, I'm going to need to bet $280 on Derek White to score 10 points or more at minus 6,000. If I do that, then I come out even on I would come out even on the bet that I lost. What this really comes down to is I did my cowardly bet yesterday. I took a parlay of Philly to somehow defeat Houston and Cleveland to somehow defeat San Antonio, and I bet $20.85, and it won me under $4. So I needed to have a heroic bet, and now my heroic bet looks stupid.
It happens to the best of us, Matt. Don't hold yourself in too bad a spot.
Should I cash out at $3.67? I can lose only 80 cents. Do I cash out and take my $3? I'm thinking of doing that, like taking my 367 out and then just putting 367 on a ridiculous parlay.
I think I just don't see the Celtics winning that game. So I would probably cash out if they're going to give you the option to cash out there. The Celtics are in a really tough spot tonight with all the guys right that are expected not to play in this game.
All right, I'm cashing out, and now I got to wait for FanDuel to give me my money back. That is a total coward move. I want to apologize to my producer, Josh, who says on this show we let it ride. I'm like, hey, that's... I'd let it ride if Jason Tatum was playing. I'm not let it ride then. Real quick, let's go back to the Super Bowl. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked my last guest. From a sports perspective and also from a sports betting perspective, what is your biggest takeaway from the Super Bowl?
My biggest takeaway is that the opening line, at least from a sports betting perspective, was that the opening line was off. I thought the Chiefs should have been favored in the game, and you can debate all you want about the ending of the outcome, but at the end of the day, the Chiefs scored on four straight possessions in the second half, and that's kind of been their MO all season long. It was just based mostly on the look-ahead lines that had the Chiefs as one-point favorites heading into the Super Bowl. And then the line, the matchup got set and the line hit the board, and it quickly jumped from that to the Eagles minus 1.5. And it just felt off to me, considering the competition that the Chiefs had played this season compared to that of the Eagles. All the credit in the world goes to the Eagles. Jalen Hurts is going to – they have their franchise quarterback, it looks like, going forward. Obviously, they met their match in the Chiefs in that matchup, and that was my biggest takeaway, the line.
Oh. And your dog's name is what?
Ellie.
Ellie? What is that now? Is Ellie yelling at, like, because I always love those dogs. Is there someone walking by? Is it a squirrel? Or is it the most annoying category where the dog is barking at nothing? It's just barking for no reason.
It is very often no reason, but I think my son just walked into the door after shoveling the driveway here and making some noise, so she had need to go see what that was all about. So sorry about that.
No. We're pro dog on the show, joined by Andrew Cayley, senior betting analyst with Covers.com, dog enthusiast, and clearly not living in downtown Toronto because it is a gorgeous sunny day. Oh, you're on the East Coast, aren't you?
We are. We just got about 20 centimeters dropped on us last night.
What? Really? It is like 9 degrees. It is. You can wear a T-shirt in Toronto today.
That doesn't make me feel any better, Matt.
It really doesn't. I did not. There was no reason at all for me to give you that information. The Raptors. Is this a guaranteed win night? When you look at the schedule with Orlando playing their third game in four nights, it's back-to-back. Is this automatic win night for the Raptors, even though what an embarrassment on Friday against Utah, and they hung on late to beat the Pistons?
They tried so hard to make it consecutive games where you just felt like, what the heck are they doing in the fourth quarters? 41 points they give it to the Pistons in the fourth quarter, getting outscored 39-20 against the Jazz in the fourth quarter. So maybe bet the Magic on the fourth quarter money line tonight. And I don't know, the Raptors, like, they've shown some signs of improvement since the trade deadline. Like, there's been some positive takeaways to the offense. Like, I really like that they've been putting the ball in Scottie Barnes' hands more and running the pick and roll with a bunch of different players with Poeltl. But the inconsistency on defense is still there. And I don't know, this Magic team is kind of scrappy. They haven't been a good team on the road, but they've covered well on the road. They're 16-12-1 against the spread on the road. The Raptors are just 5-7 against the spread this season when laying a touchdown this season or more. I just, they don't inspire a lot of confidence when laying these big numbers. So maybe I expect them to win, but I just don't think I'd lay the number. I am looking at Scottie Barnes to go over his made three-pointers prop tonight. He has, it looks like Nick Nurse has told him to start shooting the ball more, because prior to the last six games, he was averaging just 2.9 three-point attempts per game, but now it's up to 5. Over the last six, he's shooting a reasonable almost 37% from three over that time. And I think having a guy like Poeltl in the middle, where they can take the ball down low and he can kick the ball back outside, like, that's going to open things up for the Raptors a little more. And I think they're going to make a concerted effort to have Scotty shoot more. You can get the over 1.5 at plus 130 or so. And Orlando allows the second most three-point attempts per game in the NBA, so he should have some opportunities in that regard tonight.
You know, the problem with the Raptors, I don't know what to do with this team. They decide to not be sellers, bring in Poeltl. They're going to try to go for it this year, and then they get clowned in the fourth quarter by Utah. Like, I don't know if you, Andrew, big picture, are the Raptors now one of those, like, kind of stay-away teams in terms of at least betting on them with the spread or even the money line?
I don't mind them as an underdog. They seem to continue to play well as an underdog. But when they're laying points, it just, they never seem to meet those expectations when favored. They play down to the level or up to the level of their competition, I find. And we always seem to have these problems in the fourth quarter when things kind of clamp down and you have to really use that half-court offense. That's been their biggest problem all year. once again, hopefully things start to shift with Poeltl in the middle there, but we haven't seen it consistently yet, and we won't know for a little while, which makes the moves all that more puzzling, like what Masai has said in the past that he would never play for the play-ins, but that seems like exactly what they're doing this season. And then to have to, like, they're not, I don't expect them to re-sign Fred, Gary, and Jakob all this offseason. Like, I just don't see them going into a luxury tax for those three guys. So I trust in Masai still, but it's interesting to see what the long-term goal is.
I have now placed a new bet. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
Okay. Oh, God, you just got the old man cough. I apologize. Raptors, Magic, Banchero, Wagner, Siakam, and Van Vliet. All four need to score 15 points or more. I'm taking the money I cashed out, the $3.67. That will win me $4.96. I'm getting that at plus 135. How say you, sir?
I love it. All those guys should have decent games. The Raptors' defense has not been the Raptors' defense we have expected. I don't know. I don't hate the over in this game either, just because of the way the Raptors have underperformed at that end of the floor this year.
And you can get that on FanDuel at 221.5 at minus 110. Whoa, slow down with your real bets. That's going to get in the way of my ridiculous ones. Last question for you, Andrew. When do you what is your advice to people that are looking ahead, doing the future bets with Major League Baseball? We were chatting about who's going to the Super Bowl next year, which is ridiculous. But when do you start? When do you start looking at all things baseball?
Right now, regular season win totals are on the board at a lot of books. And I, like, you can find the Toronto Blue Jays on the board at 90.5 wins this year. Maybe it's
that
just
feels
the optimist.
Just right.
It feels pretty just right, but I have to believe they've won 91 and 92 games the last two seasons. I have to believe that those moves they have made, well, maybe the pop has been removed from the lineup a little bit with no Teoscar and no Lourdes in the lineup anymore. I really think the moves they have made them a more balanced roster overall, and I'd expect them to get in the 92 to 94 win range this season. So I like the over at 90.5, but those, I'd say look at those numbers now, because they'll move quick once people start switching their focus to baseball.
I wonder if, you're absolutely right. I wonder, though, is a prudent move to just usually lean to the under? Because how much do the win totals, how much do they factor in injuries?
They don't a whole lot, because you look at a team like the Texas Rangers, and they're on the board at, I think, 82.5 wins, which means you're basically expecting a fully healthy season out of Jacob deGrom at this point, and which I would love to see, because he's just a really special baseball player, but it hasn't been, that just hasn't been what the result has been the last few seasons for him. So injuries are obviously a part of futures bets, but I wouldn't say they're factored in like you would think when it comes to the win totals.
Poor Oakland and Washington, both at 59.5 wins. Andrew, really appreciate, thank you so much for putting up with just the nonsense here. Give your dog a good rub on the belly, and be safe out there. Apparently, you know what's hilarious? Like, literally, as I'm talking to you, I am such a jerk. No, what I'm about to say is such a jerk line. Where my condo is, I'm overlooking Lake Ontario. There's a sailboat. I am looking at a sailboat right now, and you just shoveled 20 centimeters of snow.
I did, and there's the lake near me is frozen over thick. There's no boats in there for a while.
There's a sailboat. I have so many questions. I'm going to let you go. You get out of here. Follow the man on Twitter. Check him out, Andrew Cayley. Read his work at coverage.com. Fantastic place, one-stop shop to start looking for all your betting information, and I'm sure somewhere they'll update that there's no Jason Tatum tonight. I should have had that info. Take care.
Thanks. Good luck with your bets, Matt.
You as well. That is Andrew Cayley from... from coverage.com. It is February 14th. It is Valentine's Day, and I am watching a sailboat. There is a sailboat on Lake Ontario. That is absolutely ridiculous. Okay, I'm gonna say this.
That is the most Canadian line ever. There's a sailboat on Lake Ontario in the middle of February.
Yes.
Wait, what? I thought it's like fully frozen over right now. There's some bad spots. There's a sailboat.
There's a sailboat.
With like humans on it.
With humans on it. Like, and it was funny, like, as it was ending, I'm like, oh, I'll just be a jerk and make fun of Andrew on the East Coast and 20 Center. And right was about to say, like, say some just jerk line about the sun being out today. I could see a sailboat.
Oh.
And think about this. 7 years ago, we had one of the coldest days in the history of Toronto that just made the NBA All-Star Game a misery in the city, where everyone's just fleeing to Casa Loma trying to get into one of Drake's parties. And now there are people out there just out on the boat.
Oh, what a difference. Well, we can't ask for too much here, Mother Nature.
Yeah.
It's going to be hot now. Hot towards us Canadians. But in a couple of weeks, I can already see on the forecast, -9 again.
Ugh. Well, I guess we have to. It's February. We have to be part of it. All right. On the other side, we will actually spin the wheel of sound. Bo Bichette had what I thought was a really smart take on all things arbitration. And we will get into that right after traffic.
This is Gameplay on TSN 1050.
Double or nothing.
Done.
Witness.
Embrace the odds.
I want winners.
For fans of the PGA, for fans of golf, what they're in love with, Tiger Woods, is he returning to the PGA? What is going on with Tiger Woods? Well, I'm glad you asked. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cause, right here on TSN 1050. He has come out. He has spoken about going for the W. Let's have a listen.
Well, the plan was to play. Whether or not this body would listen to me or not was the main question. And I've been, as I told some of you guys that were down at the Euro, and Father Son, I can do the Ranger Rick thing. And so I can hit golf balls and do all that stuff. It's a matter of whether I have the endurance in my leg and been able to recover each and every day, which is great. So I'm excited about to be able to compete and play here at Riviera, where basically it all started. So I'm excited to get out there and play tomorrow and get a nice little taste and feel for it.
The Genesis Invitational, Tiger Woods to win outright, is 120-1 to win the tournament. But what would you do here? Like, would you bet on him, Josh, to make or miss the cut? +156 to make the cut, -205 not. Where do you go on this?
I think he'll make the cut personally after a wide range of success, specifically at this tournament, but just the positive news to have Tiger Woods back on the course after a bit of a hiatus of the training, the endurance, as he was talking about, getting back into his full swing. So if I have to go in the betting direction here, I think he's going to make the cut. It's a solid group going out on this field, but with the talk of Tiger Woods being back and truly how recognized he is, I'm going to go that he's going to make the cut, and it's just a pleasure to see probably the GOAT of golf.
You're doing that more for emotion.
I'm doing it more for the storylines and the pure emotion of having Tiger back.
And that's the thing about Tiger Woods. This is the power of Tiger. It's why he is the most important, famous, powerful, significant, needle-moving athlete of the last 30 years, is because Tiger is a guy that people are going to bet on him and make the cut. Why? Because it feels good to bet on him. And because to bet against him is betting it's going to rain. You know, you might win that bet, but now it's dumping rain on you. So how good do you feel?
How good do you feel? 82 wins all time. And if you look at this field, Matt, before we move on, like John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, like there's names at this tournament. And if he can come in and, again, prove it like he has many times, what's there to say he can't do it again? At least make the cut. Not saying win here, but go on to the couple next rounds.
Do you think John Rahm will finish in the top 40?
At this tournament?
Yeah.
Oh, guaranteed.
$10 wins you $1.82 if you think John Rahm.
See, that is cowardly.
I know.
You're taking a betting favorite to make the top 40. That is really easy.
Okay. John Rahm once screwed me. I bet him to finish in the top 30. He finished 35th in some PGA event.
Really?
So bleep that guy. Oh, yeah. Bleep that guy. I know. Thank you. In a couple minutes, we're going to do our Tuesday top five. And in honor of Valentine's Day, our top five athletes who deserve more love and or recognition. But before we get there, I wanted to play it. Here is Bo Bichette. Just signed a 3-year deal with the Blue Jays. They avoid arbitration on the incredibly flawed arbitration process.
Yeah, I mean, I think arbitration is an incredibly flawed process and one that isn't very good for the game or players or owners or teams, whatever. So, yeah, I think it's just, to avoid it is good, but also just to, you know, be on the same page with the team is nice, too.
And I agree. There is nothing worse than arbitration, where you sit across from these people that you trust who draft and developed you and listen to them basically bleep talk you and tell you all your flaws in the name of saving money. So I'm glad that they were able to avoid it, because you just never know, and just trust issues that are created out of this. On the other side, and I tweeted this out, how much would you love, Josh, if arbitration was televised and became a reality TV show, and there was a confessional booth where Ross Atkins, you know, even bleep talks Bo Bichette a little bit more and makes fun of his defense? Like, how much would you want to watch the arbitration process live on TV?
I would pay a ton for that. Any pay-per-view that you offer to me, Maddie, I'm signing it up. Like, like, you're a kind-hearted person, right, Maddie?
Yes.
But could you imagine you're saying to your higher-ups, oh, I deserve that. Well, you say, no, you don't. And you say, yes, I do. Like, I'm worth that much money. I provided that much to my team. I've slashed for that many home runs. I've hit for that many hits. But I'm not budging. Like, does it come to, like, you as a person, or does it come to how much money you need financially? That's what it comes to. And Bichette went through it. And it's rough. And that's the nature of baseball.
I'm bad with confrontation, so I would be miserable with that all around. All right, we'll take a break. On the other side, our Tuesday top five, where we give who are the top five athletes that deserve more love and recognition. We will get into that in just a moment, right after traffic, which is brought to you by JanPro, proudly serving Canadian businesses for over 25 years. Put your trust in JanPro, the leader in commercial cleaning and disinfection services. Visit janpro.ca today.
This is Gameplay on TSN 1050.
You play to win the game.
Embrace the odds.
I want winners.
It's King Kong Bundy, always looking for that big five count.
Five
now he
count.
Wants the five. And the referee obliges him. Give me a break, ref.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cause. Show, as always, is brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Our Tuesday top five is a Valentine's Day edition. Top five athletes that we feel deserve a little bit more love and or recognition. I will start with you, producer Josh. Who do you got at number five?
Okay, Maddie, happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. And happy Valentine's Day to all of these athletes, because yes, they get all the love. Yes, they get all the recognition, but they deserve a little bit more. I'm going to go a little Toronto-centric, Maddie. Starting at number five, the Toronto Argonauts, AJ Ouellette. The year that he had in the CFL, remarkable. Truly remarkable. It's been three seasons with the Argos, making his debut in 2019. Two touchdowns and 22 regular season games. But when he turned it up most, was into the playoffs.
Yep.
13 games for the Argos in 2022. 516 yards, two touchdowns, and it went all the way to the Grey Cup. Yes, he receives a lot of love for that mullet. Who doesn't love that hair as well? But come on, like, the amount of love that we should give him for the moments that he made for not only the Argonauts throughout the CFL and for many fans to come, especially re-signing him to a new contract. So the Argonauts are definitely showing him the love, Matty.
By the way, speaking of the Argonauts, they have signed in free agency a Darius Pickett, who had a great year last year in the secondary with Sam linebacker with the Montreal Alouettes. Also, the defensive lineman they got from Calgary, whose last name I cannot pronounce, 27-year-old defensive lineman, Florian. Anyway, all you got to need to know about this guy, third-year defensive lineman from the Calgary Stampeders, led the league in quarterback pressures last year, and former TSN Sports Center anchor and CFL broadcaster Derek Taylor says, I bet he will get double-digit sacks in 2023. My number five is Alex Tuck from the Buffalo Sabres. His first 4 years with the Vegas Golden Knights, or the first 4 years of the Golden Knights, they won the Pacific twice, 7 playoff series wins. He had 33 points in 66 playoff games. This is the best year for the Sabres in ages. He's having a career high, 55 points in 51 games, 26 years old, under $5 million a year. Alex Tuck, number five.
Very solid choice. Like, you came with the comparison there, Matt. Oh, he's getting traded for Jack Eichel. What is the value that he can bring to this team?
Yep.
But then when you look at the numbers, look at the volume of shots he puts on the net and the amount of playmaking skill that he has on the ice to feed guys like Tage Thompson, to feed the Jeff Skinners of the world. It is super solid. Before I go number four, Matty, Trevor Harris, the Rough Riders, Eugene Lewis to the Edmonton Elks,
and
Kenny
Allen
to Winnipeg. Like, the odds are going to keep going up in the CFL as free agency opens today.
And the Riders just signed Jake Winicki, who is an incredible deep threat receiver from Montreal. He was the most outstanding rookie in the East in 2019. He's going to join Trevor Harris and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Too much going on in CFL free agency.
What a day. Number four, Michael Bradley, the captain of the Toronto FC. Yes, he may not put up the goals as he used to back in the day. Yes, he may not be that star player like he was when he started with Toronto FC, but the amount of credit we have to give him for leading the charge, saying, yes, you got the Lorenzo Insignes, yes, you got the Bernadeschis of the world to come in, but you can't forget about the cornerstone captain that that Toronto FC's had for years now, right? So in a year for Toronto FC where the expectations are super, super high, Matty.
Yeah.
And, like, if you look at it, they might be a title favorite. They could not get there without Michael Bradley's versatility, leadership, and just the way he is as a captain. So, all love to Michael Bradley, captain of TFC.
My number four, he plans to retire at the end of this baseball season. He's 41 years old. He's decided to also pitch for Team America in the World Baseball Classic. Adam Wainwright. Last year, 13th in innings pitched, and I know he was bad in his one postseason start, bad really in September, but from April through August, he was a high-end, you know, number two level starter, third all-time in wins for the Cards. He ain't catching Bob Gibson, but he could end up being number two. So my number four, a guy who's been our baseball life for a long time, is going to hang it up, Adam Wainwright.
Going to hang it up next year. They announced 3.17 ERA last season.
Yeah.
Three-time All-Star, Matty. Like, that is a perfect choice for you. Like, I know I'm going to only Toronto-centric.
Yeah.
But come on. Like, Adam Wainwright. Like, what? 41 to pitch into the playoffs. Get the trust from his teammates, from coaching. I absolutely love that decision.
Yeah.
Number three. There's been the banter, there's been the talk, there's been the process. We just played his audio. I'm throwing all my love at Bo Bichette today, number three on my list. Coming off a year where he was that guy. It went up and down. There was a roller coaster for most of the year.
So hot. The final month he was, the final month or so, so hot with the bat.
He totally turned it up. And now, solidifying his contract there needs to be a little bit more love to his side, because he probably could have went out, probably got a little bit more money from another team, but is willing to stick it through. And I've been listening to the Blue Jays pressers the entire week saying, yes, we remember the loss from Seattle. Yes, we remember the collapse. Yes, I was a part of that. But when you're giving a guy who led the AL in the last two seasons in hits a chance to succeed and build on this team, I'm pointing my finger at Bo Bichette. And John Schneider fully agrees with that as well. So number three, all the love to Bo Bichette today.
My number three, he's got a career high in rebounds, his highest scoring and assist average since 2019. I think he made his first All-Star team for the first time in nearly a decade. He went 9 years between All-Star selections, the longest gap of any player in NBA history, one of the best defenders in the league, and the reason why Milwaukee gave up all those draft picks to get him. Drew Holiday, number three on my list of players who deserve more love slash recognition.
Totally with you there, Matty. Who would have expected that he would be in this All-Star game? You should have saw the faces from half of the NBA fans that I know saying, wow, Drew Holiday's there. But what, if you really deep dive into the numbers, defensive anchor, puts up points, is like a maybe number two now with Chris Middleton still hobbled on the Bucks.
Yep.
Drew Holiday's been that guy, and he rightfully deserves an All-Star chance and opportunity. Number two on my list from the Toronto Raptors, it's Precious Achiuwa. Yes, the injuries have been there, but if you look and deep dive into his last couple of games and maybe the last couple of months for the Raptors, the numbers do speak there. Matty, I know you may not agree with me because there was some comments back a couple days ago where I said, oh, they're awesome players, and you said they're pretty good. But if you really go deep dive into the numbers, 10 points per game, 6 rebounds, that might not show. But he's coming off the bench. He's putting up defensive numbers. He just had a game with 4 steals. Blocks. He can block. He can also stretch the floor. So if the Raptors go down the path that they don't really want to go on in the offseason, I certainly hope that Masai Ujiri sticks with Precious Achiuwa. Because he, only at 23 years old, has so much potential. And he may not be the Pascal Siakam, the Fred VanVleet right now, but pointing my finger at Precious Achiuwa to get some recognition that Raptors fans need to look at.
Well, here's one thing with Precious Achiuwa. He's been playing so well recently that Raptor fans were, I think, a little bit better feeling with the idea that maybe OG Anunoby will get traded, because at least you're Precious, so you have one other talented forward. My number two, he's had 2 years, and he's had 1,000 yards receiving in both seasons. He averaged, I think, under 10 yards a catch as a rookie. This last year, he led the NFL with 18.1 yards per reception. All the attention, rightfully so, I get it, goes on Tyreek Hill. But I got some love for my number two, Dolphins receiver, Jalen Waddle.
Amazing pick. The way he came into this season with some doubts, like, oh, you're the number two behind Tyreek Hill. How much pressure do you have? I think Tua Tagovailoa stood with him and said, well, I'm going to feed you the ball. You just do it. And even throughout the playoffs, yes, there was the game against Buffalo where he didn't do as much as people would have expected. But even before that, Matty, he was the star of that team. Like, even when Tyreek Hill went down with that injury to his ankle and Tyreek Hill couldn't run, it was Jalen Waddle getting the ball most of the time.
Yep.
So I'm totally with you there.
We got number one.
Number one. I'm going with another captain on my list. Just hit 1,000 games. John Tavares. Yes, he has got the pressure in Toronto from the media, from the fans. But I think his team fully believes in him and what he can bring to this team. Been here for a couple of years. May have not got the results that he totally wants.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
It's an understatement.
That's an understatement.
But 23
goals.
It's
not his own fault, but yes.
23 goals, 30 assists, 53 points in 54 games, almost averaging a point a game this season. Numbers may have declined last year, but Matty, he has proved himself big time as the captain. So, no more banter on Tavares in Toronto. Come on, guys.
All right, my number one, and then we got to go. We're getting heavy here. This is a simple one. This is both a hipster pick, an obvious pick. Also, this is a hero pick by me. I sometimes hate when the media does this. We say, you know what? We're not talking enough about blank. when it's like, oh, no, we are. I don't know if we're talking enough about Connor McDavid and just the gap between him and number two in terms of points, in terms of goals, where I think Connor McDavid just woke up before the season started and said, you know what I'm going to do this year? Ah, bleep it. I'm going to lead the team in scoring. They're not having the season they want to, the Oilers, but my number one, I know he gets lots of love and recognition. Kind of feel like he deserves a little bit more. I'm taking Connor McDavid. That's my number one pick.
Connor McDavid at number one gets the love of the All-Star game.
Yeah.
But many people point to him and say, could you be the one to lift the Edmonton Oilers to the next level? And
we'll
he needs
out.
A cup. Truthfully, he'll need a cup to solidify his legacy.
On the other side, sound of the day, Patrick Mahomes, there was one thing he was not allowed to do at the Super Bowl. We'll tell you what it is. And a prominent quarterback just got broken up, just got dumped on Valentine's Day. We'll tell you all about that right after traffic.
I don't care who you are, who you are.
Gameplay on TSN 1050 was brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more. Get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. This from Adam Schefter. The Las Vegas Raiders officially informed Derek Carr that he's been released per sources. The team released him before the $40.4 million in his contract became guaranteed today. How's that for a breakup? You think you're in a tough day being single on Valentine's Day? Carr is now free. He is a free agent, expected to draw interest from the Saints and Panthers, among others. It feels to me it's like one team from the NFC South is like, bleep it. We all suck. We go get Derek Carr. We'll suddenly be the favorite to win the division.
Well, Matt, firstly, tough news. But then again, not that tough because he wanted his way out of Vegas. That was purely evident. It was in the talks. They're going to go out there. He'll find a new team. The money will get there for Derek Carr. $40 million from what he was going to get. That's pretty nuts. And secondly, was that a shot at me being single on Valentine's Day?
That was not a shot at you.
It was a little subtle.
I've been single on Valentine's Day before. I'm technically single tonight. My girlfriend, as I said, getting on a plane, flying to Africa with her nonprofit charity building, has built a school in Mombasa, Kenya. So you and I are both single. What are your plans? What is Josh's plans for this night beyond betting on backup shooting guards for the Orlando Magic?
Well, my Valentine's Day plans probably are going to be that, working the Raptors Magic game on TSN 1050 tonight. Paolo Banchero comes into town to face Pascal Siakam and the Raptors. Should be a solid game. Raptors 6.5-point favorite. So that's my Valentine's Day. Watch the boys in Toronto from Scotiabank Arena.
Pretty much that is mine as well. Just mine will probably involve a little more alcohol than yours, as you're responsibly working and I will be on a lonely couch. All right, we do this at the end of each and every show. It is time now for Sound of the Day.
Sound of the day, sound of the day. Here comes the sound of the day.
And for sound of the day, we go to Patrick Mahomes, who's on Jimmy Kimmel, talking about the one thing Andy Reid would not let the team do at the half.
Are you at all watching Rihanna's performance during this?
I didn't, but I heard it was great. But Coach Reid told us, he said, if you go out to watch the performance, just keep walking because you're not playing the rest of the game.
Do you agree? I believe that Rihanna should name the baby after you. Your thoughts?
My name is taken by my son, Patrick LeVon Mahomes III, so I don't know if that name is still allowed. So she has to think of another one.
That is a hell of a job by you in terms of yes ending what Jimmy Kimmel did there, Patrick. But I wish Mahomes had gone out, not only watched the show, but jumped up on one of those platforms and got raised up. I still think Andy Reid would have let him play it in the second half. That'll do it for this show. Overdrive is coming up next, and then it's Raptors Orlando. You can catch it all here on TSN 1050. Have a great night, everyone. Be good. Be safe. Happy Valentine's Day. Time now for traffic.